Good morning, everybody. Everybody enjoying the heat? Remember when we were complaining about how cold it was and how rainy it was and how snowy it was and we were sick and tired of it? Think back on those days and enjoy the heat. All right, we are continuing our series. Actually, I have a little story that was passed on to me. That has to do, I was looking up at the flag and Angela singing the national anthem, and we have a couple of young men in our church that actually went to the United States versus Mexico soccer match, correct? Am I right? Soccer match. And I learned some things that I wasn't aware of as far as how they were treated down there. And there was, in one section of the stadium, was like a pie shape, and it was completely fenced off and surrounded by federales, or policemen, and that's where all of the American people sat during the game. And they didn't want any American fanfare, they didn't want any flags, they didn't want any of this, they didn't want any of that. So when they went into the stadium, they had to go through four checkpoints to make sure that they didn't have any flags or whatever. Because if you've ever seen a soccer match on TV or ever been to one that is any size, it's flags. It's all about the flags. And they're just having a great time. And it's just a big celebration going on. And we had one of our young men who was able to get a 60-foot, 60-foot? Was it that big? 17 by 9. Okay. A large flag through four checkpoints. And when they played the national anthem, that flag came out, and it's actually, it made the front page of the New York Times, the LA Times. So, yes. You know, I was thinking about that, and I was like, that is so awesome. Four checkpoints, and they were actually denied water. Yes. It was unbelievable the way that they were treated down there. And I looked up at that flag and I went, that is so cool. It was that young man right there and his crazy brother up in the crow's nest. But I just thought, that is so cool. That is so cool. That's pride. To sneak stuff through four checkpoints in Mexico City. I don't know if it's very bright, but it is. That is pride. That is pride. So, all right, we're going to start on our keep going on our series in Proverbs, and we are in part 5. And Proverbs 1 chapter chapter 1 verses 1 through 3. It says this, and it lays out what the Proverbs are all about. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. It's for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, and doing what is right and just and fair. These are rules and regulations and sayings that we can live by. And in chapter 4, actually quite a few of the chapters, some of the chapters actually have a father talking to a son and saying, you know what, you need to live by these things. Keep them close to your heart. Guard them with your heart. In other chapters, we have a mother speaking to her son, saying, keep these sayings close. Live by them. These will teach you how to live right and just and fair. And so we're going to pick it up in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23. And here is that father talking to his son. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words and do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. A father is telling his young son to make sure that you keep these sayings and to keep them within your heart. Not just your mind, but your heart. And it says that we are to guard our hearts. And so I was thinking about that, meditating on that, about the heart, because we talk about the heart. You know, it's like, oh, you know, you just need to follow your heart. Or, you know, so many songs have been written about the heart. And I wanted to know more about what the Bible said about our heart. And it says in Exodus that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. It says in 1 Samuel that God changed Saul's heart. And also in Samuel, it says that people look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God said that David was a man after his own heart. And in 1 Kings, it says that David was righteous and upright in heart. I found a discerning heart, an evil heart, a heavy heart, a fainting heart, a joyful heart, a broken and contrite heart, a wise heart, a noble heart, a good heart, an unrepentant heart, a pure heart, a sincere heart, and a divided heart. So there's many, many adjectives that are put in front of that noun, heart. And I wanted to know, I always want to know what the Hebrew word is. And then I'll go into the Greek and I'll see what the Greek word is. Because our language is so watered down. It can mean so many different things. I love puppies. I love chocolate. I love pizza. I love my wife. I don't love them all the same. It's different. So I always want to know what the original word was. And in the Hebrew, the word is lev. Lev. And the reason it looks like lev is because B is the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And whether or not it has a dot in the middle means it is pronounced B or V. There's no letter for V in the Hebrew alphabet. So you have the B or the V pronunciation of the letter bet. So it's lev, and it means the inner man, the mind, the will, and the understanding. And so I went into the Greek, and I really like the Greek word and meaning. It's cardia. And it means it denotes the center of all physical and spiritual life. It says the soul or the mind as it is the fountain and seat. So the soul and the mind make up the seat of thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, and endeavors. So that is what the mind or the soul is basically the seat of. The seat of the heart is of the understanding, the faculty, and the seat of intelligence. So in the mind or the soul, you have the thoughts, but in the heart is where you get understanding and intelligence on what to do with those thoughts. So there's a difference that is being brought out just in that verse. And so I thought, you know what, I want to take a look. I want to go into these different verses in the Bible and see what it says about the heart and what we can glean from that. And so we're going to start in 1 Kings 10:24, and it says, "The whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart." The wisdom that Solomon had was given to him by God. It is not something that he was born with. The word says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, ask, and I'll give it to you freely. No questions asked, no holds barred, he will give it to us." And Solomon was considered the wisest man to ever live. And it says that the reason that he had that wisdom was that it was in his heart and God put it there. It wasn't that he was just blessed with it. It was a gift that God had given him. In Jeremiah 32, verses 38 through 40, it says, "They shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me always for their own good and for the good of their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts so that they will not turn away from me." God's original intention with the Jewish people was that they would be of one heart and one way. one heart in one way. And he says, I'm going to give them that heart. I am going to give them one heart. But the thing is we're going to find out a little bit later, there are two people that are in charge of our hearts. One is God and one is us. Because if it wasn't necessary for us to guard what God has already given us, he would not have said, guard your hearts. So there are two people tending to that, basically that garden that is your heart. And he says, I will give them one heart and one way. This is back in Jeremiah. I'm going to look at another prophet in Ezekiel in chapter 11, verse 19. I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them, and I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. So originally he's talking to the Jewish people, and he's saying, I am going to give them one heart and one way that I want them to follow. Ezekiel is saying and talking about a different group of people, and it says, I will give them one heart, and I will put my new spirit within them. He is talking about when Jesus Christ dies, and all is finished. The whole plan that he had from the beginning to redeem his people, all people, not just the Jews, but Gentiles alike. He says, I am going to put a new spirit and a new heart into them. So he goes from talking just to the Jews. Now he's talking about everybody. And this is the Old Testament. This is still a prophecy. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, after Jesus has already died, he's already ascended, they've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. It says in 4, verse 32, and the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. Originally, when it first happened on the day of Pentecost, they were of one heart and one soul. Everything that they had was considered everyone else's. They did not consider it their own. They considered everything that they had as a gift from God, and it was to be used by God for his purposes and for his plans. Now, as you read through the scriptures in the New Testament, it doesn't take very long before selfish ambitions begin to arise. Before people have their own agendas, they begin to tweak what God originally wanted them to do. And we see the fruit of that today. We see division in the family of God. We see division in different churches. We're on the same team. If you are a Bible-believing Christian and you believe that Jesus died for you and for all men, that who would ever believe, that's who we're, the family of God. Yet some of the most miserable people I've ever met have been in church. And it doesn't show a one heart or a one mind. And I don't know about you, but my God is infallible. So when he puts his heart into his people, it's not because he's not doing his job or he gave you a faulty heart. It means that we're not tending it correctly. We're not guarding that which he gave us. We're not guarding those things, those sayings, the word of God. And then the old flesh begins to creep in. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35, it says, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and mind. You see, God has given us a heart. And it is to be a heart that reflects his heart. A heart of love. A heart that is full of mercy, compassion, grace. We're to have his heart. It says we're made in his image and he puts his heart into us. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm driving down the road, his heart doesn't come out. It does not. I Angela's probably been on the receiving end of one of those. But it does it. But it should. And that means that I'm not guarding that which he put inside of me with his word and his instruction and his plans. But that's where the fault comes in, is not in God, but it's in us and how we're tending that heart. He says, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and mind. And I will firmly establish his priestly house, and they will minister before my anointed one always. He's talking about Jesus. And when Jesus stepped on the scene, one of the things that he said many times was, I don't do anything unless my Father's already told me to do it. If you have seen me, you have seen my Father. How many of us can say that on a daily basis? The gym that you just witnessed is a perfect reflection of our Heavenly Father. I should be able to say that, but I'm not perfect. And that's when one of those hearts that we talked about earlier comes into play, a repentant heart. There's a difference between someone who does not treat someone appropriately or according to the way that God wants them to treat them, and they repent of it, as opposed to a person who treats the person, another person, the same exact way and has a proud heart and doesn't care. There's a huge difference. A huge difference. All right, let's continue on. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. You see, that if we don't tend our heart, or we do not guard our heart, those things that God has placed in there will begin to fade. I see that a lot with people who come to church regularly on a Sunday. Let's just be real here. And I'm not going to have you raise your hands. But I would bet that less than 15% of people who attend regularly on a Sunday morning, the only spiritual food that they are feeding themselves with is on that Sunday morning. I would bet that less than 15% of people who go regularly to church open up their Bibles during the week and actually read the Word of God. That means 85% of people who call themselves Christians are being starved during the week. You get rejuiced up on Sunday and you're good to go, and Monday morning comes around and things get a little bit more difficult because you're at your job and you're going through dealing with people, and then by Wednesday things have faded a little bit more, and then if they don't show up that next Sunday, or they don't show up for three or four Sundays, and they're not used to feeding themselves spiritually, they get burnt out. The fire starts to go out. You don't tend and guard your heart. You're getting filled with more of the world than you are of God's word and his presence. And it begins to fade. I hear so many people say, you know what, I really need to get back into church. I really need to get back into church. And very few of them actually do it. Oh, yeah, I'm going to come. I'm going to come and visit your church. Yeah, I want to get back in. And very few do. And then what you do, this is the last part of this, is that teach them to your children and to their children after them. See, it's not just for you. It's for the kids that follow. And it's for grandkids that follow as well. You teach them. You have to teach them something that you know and that you do. Otherwise, they look at it and go, well, Papa says this, but he doesn't really follow through, so it must not be really important. Well, yeah, it's important to go to church, but if there's a ball game on, or if it's really nice outside, or if it's really nasty outside, or if it's just, you know, I'm just going to sleep in today. You're teaching your kids to prioritize on whether or not it's important to gather with the brethren and worship him and learn. Now, I'm not saying you got to be here every week, and you can't miss a week. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is learn how to feed yourself. This is very important. This is where we get encouraged in how we should live our lives. This is where we learn the Word of God. This is where, and on Sunday morning workouts, that is where we learn the different words, verse by verse of the Scriptures, and hear other people interjecting. You know, because we have different backgrounds. We have different ideologies. We have different thought processes. And I love to hear what other people are hearing or getting out of the Word of God, because it encourages me. I can walk out and go, I never looked at it that way. And I get a revelation of God's Word, a new revelation. But we are to train and teach our children and the children after them. And that just doesn't mean you that are blood grandmas and grandpas. We have little buggers around here that need spiritual grandmas and grandpas, spiritual brothers and sisters, spiritual moms and dads. It's very important. We are all responsible for raising up one another's kids, to loving on them, to teaching them the right way. And we can't do that when we don't guard our hearts. We can't do it appropriately when we don't guard our hearts. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. It takes time, it takes effort to get up and come to church on a Sunday morning. It really does. And usually that ride over here is one of the most unpleasant rides you can have. Hurry up, get in the car. I'm tired. I don't want to get up. Go on, you got to eat something. Hurry up, we're going to go. We're going to be late. You're always making me late. Why are you making me late? And then by the time you get here, you sit out there and you stew in what just happened the last 45 minutes in the car ride over, and trying to get breakfast together, and trying to get Junior to put on a clean shirt, if you can get him to wear a shirt at all. And then you sit out here during the worship and you put on your grumpy face. I don't feel like worshiping God today. And you know what? You're not guarding your heart. You're not guarding your heart. Are difficult things going to happen during the day? Absolutely. And it's especially during those times that we need to guard our hearts, because the natural flesh is what has a tendency to come out. And it ain't always pretty. But that's where that repentant heart comes in once again. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. It says, but if from there, and he's talking to the Israelites who are going to be exiled, but if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Every aspect. God wants an undivided heart. A heart that is guarded against the crud that we live in every single day in this world. The garbage. I've gotten to the point where I won't even watch the news anymore. And it's both, don't get me wrong, it is both sides, and they're just nasty to one another. I get angry listening to the news. Both sides, I don't care if CNN, Fox, whatever, it doesn't matter. They're both so mean that I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want anything to do with it anymore, because it does not do my heart good. So to guard my heart, I've turned it off. And whatever you do, it's up to you. But I choose not to put that into my heart, because it divides. I sit there and I watch Angela sing, and you watch America, because we're Americans. Yet there's a great divide in America right now. There's always been a great divide in America. It just seems to be way worse now. And it breeds hate. It breeds dissension. It breeds division. It's not healthy. And I don't care which way you vote. It doesn't. My Bible says that if you call yourself a God-fearing Christian, a follower of Christ, you are to treat everyone with respect and love and honor. No matter what the way they voted, no matter what they look like, no matter what their sexual orientation is, we're to treat them with love, respect, and honor. We are. Unfortunately, the Christians out there are the most judgmental people out there. It is not our job to judge anyone. In fact, God says, don't do it, or I'm going to judge you exactly the same way that you judge other people. If you are not merciful to other people, God will not be merciful to you. And that is an unguarded, bitter heart. And we're to get rid of that. That's not the one God put in us when we proclaimed to be a follower and to accept that free gift that God gave us. That is not the heart he put in. But if you're not tending that heart, that's what's going to come out. There's a, here we go. I'm going to jump ahead. Luke chapter 6, verses 45 through 46. It says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up where? In his mind. No, in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his closet. No, in his heart. And for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. If your mouth is full of poison, guess what's in your heart? Poison. If your mouth speaks dissension, guess what's in your heart? Dissension. Divisiveness. And what I get is when I've called brothers and sisters on this, and it's like, well, you know, God said that we're to judge fruit. It does. But it's the fruit of other believers. We're not to judge the fruit of the world. Someone who does not know Christ or denies Christ or whatever, that's not our job. But it also says in my Bible that we are to do all things in love. When we correct one another, it's to be done in love. And I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of Christians come up and correct me with an angry, bitter face and just spewing venom because I don't do things the way they think I should do things. Or I do things they don't think I should do. We are to correct one another. We are to train up one another. But we're to do it in love. That is from a guarded heart. A heart that reflects the heart of our Heavenly Father. So whatever's coming out of your mouth, and I've had to work on this, because I, for some reason, the last few weeks, you would think I don't have any teaches or any things to teach on Tuesdays and Wednesday nights. Things are going good. You know what it is? It's my Mariners. I can't watch the Mariners anymore because I get so angry. I have to guard my heart. So I do. I blame the Mariners for the last few weeks that I've just I've struggled. And my attitude hasn't been the best. And I just like, okay, God, I need your help. I need your help. Put that good heart, stir that one up, And help me to guard it from the garbage of everyday life. Because you don't have to go looking for it. It's there. Everywhere you go, the garbage is there. So what are you going to do with your heart in the midst of it? See, guarding your heart doesn't mean that all the garbage goes away. All the difficult times go away. All the difficult circumstances, they just disappear with little pixie dust. No, you guard your heart because it's going to keep coming after you. There's another verse that I'm going to go through real quick. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. Listen to this, and I've really jumped around. I apologize to Andrew up there. He's like, what in the world are you doing down there? All right, Acts chapter 5, verse 3, Andrew. And this is Ananias, a man in the New Testament, who was part of the new church. And Peter had a bunch of people coming, and they wanted to give whatever it is that they had, land, money, whatever, they wanted to give to the early church to build it up, to take care of the poor. And Peter is there, and he's receiving. And this poor guy named Ananias comes in, and it says, then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received from the land? See, he came in and he goes, here's all the money that I received from the land. I want to give it to the church. And it wasn't all the money. It was some of the money. And Peter goes on to say, you know what? All the money, that's all yours. You didn't have to give at all. But since you came and you lied about your gift, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. How is it that Satan has so filled your heart? On a lie, people. He didn't commit adultery. He didn't commit murder. He lied. And out of that mouth, it showed what was in his heart. And he says, you've lied. Why have you allowed Satan to so fill your heart that you would lie about something? And you know what happened to him? He died. Right then and there. And unfortunately, his wife came in too. Didn't see him being dragged out and did the same thing. Because of a lie. Why have you allowed Satan to fill your heart? When those things come out of our mouths, that is the source. It's not the good heart that God has put in us. It's that we have allowed the enemy to get a foothold. And I believe that's what it means when it says, do not let the enemy, do not give the enemy a foothold. Because when we allow him this much into our heart, he gonna take over. And then we can't be who God has called us to be. So guard your hearts. And when something that comes out of your mouth that is a reflection of something that is in your heart that is not from him, step back. Apologize to the person you just said it to and ask God to help you. Help me guard my heart, Lord. Because he will. David said, Lord, give me an undivided heart. Because there's nothing worse than a divided heart. One that is partly worldly and partly godly and all depending on who you're around, which one comes out. No. Our heart is to be undivided. It's to be undivided. We are to have a guarded heart. And when we guard our hearts, our mouths will follow. Because we're only supposed to have good things coming out of this hole right here. Unfortunately, it's not always the case. But it is what the Psalms, or not the Psalms, but the Proverbs are talking about. If we can take these things and get them past here and into here, we will live more like Christ. We will be more like our Heavenly Father. And that's what He wants. He wants our hearts to be like His, so that other people see that and will give Him glory and praise Him. As Christians, non-Christians, they can have their differences or whatever, but in the end, they should say, but you know what? He was kind. You know what? I did see love come out of that person. Instead of, well, they're the most bitter, hypocritical people I've ever met in my life. That makes me sad. And God too. We're to have His heart and guard our own so that He can do whatever it is that He wants to whomever He wants. He wants to use us, His kids, to show His love and His mercy. Is that what they see from you? Is that what the world sees? Is that what the slow checker at Walmart sees? It's everywhere. Everywhere we go, everything we do, the world is watching. So we need to guard our hearts so that we can reflect our Heavenly Father's love. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, I'm done. Today's message didn't come off the way I had planned. I apologize to Andrew up there. He's like, where is he going and what is he doing? But you know, God had a different thing in mind, and I'm not going to apologize for that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank You for this day. And I pray that we would guard our hearts against the garbage that is so prevalent in our lives and in the world around us. Lord, teach us when to shut things out, when to pursue things, when to speak, when to keep our mouths shut. Teach us when we need to get rid of certain things or possibly certain people because they're a poison to our hearts. And most importantly, Lord, help us to love and show the love that You had for us when You sent Your only Son to die upon a cross. Help us to be more like You. And everybody said, amen. Have a great rest of the 4th.